the nature of the reality, the vision and knowledge of which he attained, we shall be looking at later on. For the present, I just want to stay with the term Buddhism. As we've seen, Buddhism is from Buddha. But what we may ask is the relation between the two. We can, of course, say the Buddhism is the teaching of the Buddha, and that's quite correct. Plus, of course, the interpretations that have gathered around that teaching in the course of so many centuries, in so many countries, at the hands of so many great Buddhist teachers. But to say simply that Buddhism is the teaching of the Buddha does not really help us very much. It doesn't go deep enough. For instance, why does the Buddha teach? Whom does the Buddha teach? Teach is, after all, primarily a transitive verb. One doesn't just teach. One teaches someone, or one teaches a number of persons. One doesn't just teach. In the Buddha's case, he teaches us. He teaches those who are not Buddhists. Don't think anyone would disagree that we're not Buddhists. Huh? He teaches us, those who are not Buddhists. Or in the more traditional phrase, he teaches gods and men, all sentient beings. Thus, Buddhism, we may say, is a communication. It's a communication from the Buddha to those who are not Buddhists. It's a communication from the enlightened mind to the unenlightened mind. And the purpose of that communication, that great communication, is not theoretical, not academic. It's highly practical. It's practical in the highest conceivable degree. Its purpose, the purpose of that communication, is to enable those who are not Buddhas to become Buddhas, to enable the unenlightened mind to transform itself into an enlightened mind. And it's because the purpose of the Buddha's communication is practical that he likened his teaching to a raft. This is a very famous teaching, a very famous parable in the Pali scriptures. The function of the raft is to carry one across the river. I've seen some of these great Indian rivers. You stand on one bank, you can't see the other bank. They're as broad as that. So the function of the raft is to carry one across the river. The river, of course, has a symbolical significance. It's the river, the ogre, as Auntie Gunawasana was explaining yesterday, of samsara. Once one has reached the opposite bank, one is free to discard the raft. The raft is only a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. And this is one of the most striking and most important of all of the Buddha's teachings, that Buddhism itself, our so greatly loved and cherished Buddhism, the Dharma itself, is just a raft. Religion is just a raft. It's for getting across, not for carrying with one when one has crossed over and reached the further shore. That's an extreme. But, of course, there's another extreme to be avoided. And that is not actually using the raft to cross the river at all. And this extreme is much more common. Some people board the raft but they don't ply the pole. They start making the raft a bit comfortable. They start building walls, maybe a little roof. Then they install furniture and cooking utensils, bring on board their wives and families and friends. They turned the raft into a house, and they moored it very securely to this shore. They don't like, and you talk about, you know, releasing the mooring or the anchor. There are other people who just stand on the shore, stand on the bank, and they just take a good steady look at that raft. They say, it's a fine raft. It's a magnificent raft, yeah? So big, so solid, so well constructed, so impressive. They take out their measuring rod or their tape. They measure it. They can tell you the exact dimensions of it. They can tell you the sort of wood it's made of, huh? And where and when that wood, you know, was felled. Huh? They can tell you all about the raft. And they produce a beautiful monograph on Buddhist rafts, which sells like hot cakes, which even enters the bestseller list. But it's only a book about the raft, and they've never even perhaps set foot on that raft. Huh? And of course, there are other people who think, well, that old raft's a bit plain, not very attractive, a bit rough and ready. After all, just a lot of logs, you know, lashed together. Let's, you know, make it a bit more attractive. So they paint it and decorate it and cover it with flowers and make it look quite pretty. But they also don't ever get on board. They don't ever start using that pole and ferrying themselves across to the other shore. So all these are extremes. But there's another lot of people, they claim that they've inherited the raft. They claim that the raft happens to be their ancestral property. It belongs to them. So they don't actually have to do anything about it. They don't have to board it or use it. It's just there. It just belongs to them. It's enough, quite enough, that they simply possess it.